You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to another episode of the Giant Take Podcast. Giants versus Texans recap. The New York Giants are now 7-2. Another day, another win. And the Giants are, well, when we're recording this, sitting second in the NFC East. We are recording this episode right after the game concluded. We're actually in the midst while we're recording this, watching the overtime thriller between the Minnesota Vikings and the Buffalo Bills. So we have no idea what happened in the later window, the 4 o'clock window with the Dallas Cowboys. Hopefully we're sitting in second. The Dallas Cowboys lose. But again, just wanted to give you that reminder, that heads up for whoever's listening or watching when you're doing so, probably on Monday, that we are recording this directly after the game has concluded. Alex, this one felt like it took absolutely forever. Once we entered that less than 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, that felt like the slowest football game of all time. Although, with that being said, the Giants do get the win. Somehow it was close. I believe that they are a much better team than the Houston Texans. You can say we're the worst 7-2 team in the NFL, and that you very well might be correct in that statement. But the thing is, the Houston Texans are a terrible franchise at this moment. They have one win on the entire season. And I could say, with all of my intelligence in the football or Giants, you know, world, whatever you want to call it, in my brain, the New York Giants are a much, much, much better football team than the Houston Texans. And they made it look like they were not. They made it look like we had, or the Giants made it look like we had a one-win team, that we were playing like a one-win team. And I think that could be because they were missing Xavier McKinney in that secondary. Allowing over 300 yards to Davis Mills is absolutely unacceptable. The way that this game ended as close as it did, I think also is credit to the Giants coaching staff in this one. Mike Kafka, Brian Daboll, whoever you want to put it on, the Giants went run heavy with their offense today. Absolutely run heavy. I mean, Saquon Barkley set his career record for the amount of rushing attempts ever. In his career, that's what that means. But just repeating what I said. The thing is, though, when Daniel Jones threw the ball, most of the time they were successful throws, and they just didn't go back to it. Giants, they were throwing away drive after drive. I mean, we had the fumble recovery with Jalen Smith, and then I think they went three and out after that because they went three straight rushes, and they ended up punting it and only wasting 3 minutes off the clock. I don't like that at all. I think they needed to be a little more versatile today. Daniel Jones didn't have those RPOs either. He didn't have those designed runs today, or Saquon Barkley lining up under center, taking a snap and either handing it off to Matt Breida or rushing it himself upfield. So you were really missing a lot in the playbook today. And most importantly, you were missing Daniel Jones passing the ball, which he's been good this season doing it. So I don't understand the problem with that. We'll get into it, I'm sure, in this recap. I've been talking for a little bit to start this one off. Alex, how are you?
I mean, I'm doing well. The Giants are 7-2. Couldn't be doing better with that record, or at least really, you know, besides being, what would it be, 8-0 or 9-0 actually at this point. You couldn't be doing much better. So 7-2 certainly would take it. And I think this run-heavy game plan was really due to the fact that the Texans are an awful run defense, 31st in the NFL. And you could see they were kind of going some old-school ground and pound against them. And I kind of felt like at times we almost just couldn't take our mind off of it. And then in the other way of looking at it, you know, you have your receivers like Kenny Golladay having two huge drops and just not enough quality in that department of the football field. So I think it's a tough balance that, you know, Dable and Kafka had to strike. And eventually, obviously, the Giants put up 24 points. You know, not amazing, not terrible, against a very poor Houston Texans defense. But certainly, it was a positive showing overall, you know, in terms of the result. But yes, you could definitely nitpick some of those smaller specific items, you know, some of the play calling. But a lot of the mistakes today came from individual mistakes. I already mentioned Kenny Golladay, offensive lineman with a couple of those false starts. You know, that certainly hurt us in third and fourth down situations, which took points off the board. So there was a number of different factors. I wouldn't as much put it on coaching, more on the individual errors or individual, you know, mistakes or group mistakes of certain departments, whether that be the offensive line or the wide receiver room, or even, you know, the back end in the cornerback room. But there were certainly some individual mistakes, which I think cost the Giants, you know, a more comfortable win. But overall, I would agree that there were a few coaching, you know, lapses in judgment, at least you could say, throughout this game. It wasn't, you know, the best to watch on TV, you could say. It wasn't, you know, your thriller, you know, 500 yards passing. But, you know, all that matters is the end result, and the Giants got the win, and that's the main thing.
Yeah, Alex, I mean, I think you were maybe looking for the name Tyree Phillips when talking about the false starts in the offensive line. I think that was another game for Phillips, filling in for Evan Neal, who's still not back.
And Jack Anderson, too. That's another guy who had that bad mistake on fourth and one.
Yeah, but I know Phillips had multiple. I think it was just the couple, the two false starts today. But again, costly, and those do add up. And I think I want to say he also did in another game when he filled in, probably the last game against the Seahawks, where he filled in for the injured Evan Neal. So, listen, you know, there's nothing you can do. It's injuries are injuries, and luckily in this game there was only, you know, after there's been many games with many Giants injuries, and during the bye week we already know about Xavier McKinney. I mean, Alex, I know you missed out on the preview, unfortunately, but I talked about the whole ATV incident with McKinney already, but that there was that incident in the bye week, and we know Evan Neal's injured. We know that Bellinger is injured. You know, Tanner Hudson, not highly involved today, as he probably won't be. He's not a tight end one. Hopefully Bellinger comes back sooner than later, and hopefully you see McKinney and Neal coming back sooner than later. But, you know, there's injuries are a part of the NFL, and they only did have one today, Dane Belton going to the locker room. We don't have the specifics on him. Again, we are recording right after the game ended, so we really don't have any specifics on what the deal is with him. I'm sure we'll reevaluate that situation come the preview to the Lions game later this week on Thursday when we record it. But that wasn't a struggle today, which is a good thing. There weren't many Giants injuries. However, again, they were missing McKinney. There was that one play where it was a corner out route, and Julian Love was late to it. It was a play on the sideline. I don't remember the specifics, but I remember that about it, and Julian Love was just kind of late to the ball, where I think Xavier McKinney, if he was in that zone coverage, he would be quick, and that play would not be completed. You did not hear Xavier McKinney's name getting called when he's in normally on plays. Minnesota Vikings just walked it off and won the game with a pick. Pretty cool there. But you do not see Xavier McKinney's name getting called a lot of the time when he's in during games, because that's a good thing. That means he's playing his position well. That means the receivers that he's covering are not getting thrown to. Julian Love, I saw him getting a couple tackles today. He was getting shown on camera because those guys he was on were getting open. So that's just something to note. However, for what they did step up against this really, really poor offense, they did all right. Again, allowing Davis Mills over 300 yards, which kind of just reiterating points here. It's just, no.
It's a frustrating win, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't, you know, I guess it's a good thing. We've gotten to the standard where you can get frustrated a little bit with wins, which I guess shows improvement if you want to look at it that way. But, I mean, there was a number of mistakes that really just, you know, kind of rattled me the wrong way, and I think obviously clearly rattled you as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think Charles Davis and Ian Eagle summed it up pretty well going into the end of the first half. You know, on the call, they were talking about Brian Daboll. When he was yelling at Jack Anderson on the sideline, you could see that Daboll was getting quite frustrated with this team. And Ian Eagle and Charles Davis said in their broadcast that the Giants fans didn't just expect the win today. They expected a pounding. And when they weren't getting that, and the Giants were only up, what, 7-3 at that point in the second quarter, third quarter, you were looking at where is the next point going to come from? When are they going to get the field goal? When are they going to get a touchdown? We know the Giants aren't a high-powering offense. They aren't a high-scoring team. But you would think they would be able to pound the worst team in the NFL with the worst record in the NFL with one weapon, you know, two weapons, whatever you want to say, on offense of Brandon Cooks, who wasn't really a factor today. It was more Dameon Pierce. And then you look to their defense, and there's not really a huge star there. I mean, besides, I said my player of the game going into it was Jerry Hughes. He had a few tackles. I know he had a sack today. But you just hope they did more. And I hope that they do more next week against the Lions. I know the Lions now coming off back-to-back wins, I want to say, right? So they're just as good of a team, as you could say, as the Giants right now. Because the Giants in this game against the Texans, yes, they won. But they were looking like a poor quality team. And if there's a week that I would say that I will take the comments to heart of this team is the worst 7-2 team in the NFL, it would be this week, where I'd be like, yeah, you're probably right. Because the other wins, I would say the Giants fought hard and they look like a really good team on the field. After this win, I want to say this was probably, I mean, you know, we played 9 games this season, but on the top of my head, this was the sloppiest win of the Giants' year so far. This was the 1 out of 7. Of the sloppiest wins they've had so far this season.
Yeah, I think usually when the Giants win, it's the other team being sloppy and the Giants just kind of capitalizing on those scenarios. But in general, even the past couple games, the Giants have been a little bit more sloppy. Obviously, last game they didn't win. This one they were able to win. Obviously, Seattle, a much better team than Houston. But it was certainly, you know, rough going throughout the game. And those two fourth downs with the two critical, you know, false starts, obviously it was 4th and 1, and then that Jack Anderson false start made it 4th and 6. They had to punt. There was another scenario where I believe they were 4th and long, but it was in field goal range, and, you know, obviously another false start kind of kicked them back out. So it was tough there for the Giants, where they could have gotten 6 points at least from those two, possibly 10 if that 4th and 1 really went better. But those are the type of mistakes that really made it the fact that it ended up only an 8-point game, a 1-score game, when it really could have been a multi-possession game that could have been much more comfortable heading into the fourth quarter than it was. In terms of, like, the players who didn't play today, there was, you know, everyone knew that there was going to be some healthy scratches today with a lot of these players returning. Matt Parrott, for example, off the PUP list. So David Sills, Devery Hamilton, Quincy Roche, and Austin Kalitro, were the healthy scratches. So they were the guys who were made inactive. For those wondering, I know a lot of people are kind of speculating, who is it going to be? Landon Collins obviously not called up for this game as well, so that was kind of another thing that people were talking about going into this one. But certainly, you know, some interesting guys, but no really huge surprises. My guy Darius Slayton, I have to bring him up before Josh brings him up. Sorry, I just need to take credit for defending him with honor. With a 50-plus yard touchdown on that third down play. He catches it probably 7 yards down the field from the line of scrimmage, and then is able to turn and just use his speed that we all know he has, and burst to the end zone for a big touchdown for the Giants. And I think Darius Slayton looked really, really good. When his number's been called, he's been able to step up, and I think that's really important. Can't say the same for another receiver. I'll let Josh talk about it, because I'm so frustrated, I just don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, Alex, you were already moving on to the positives. I was going to say, like, I'm getting ready to move on to the positives. This was a win at the end of the day, so we definitely should touch on those. But again, I'm still not done with the negatives. One of those negatives being wide receiver Kenny Golladay. And, you know, as you like to refer to him, you know, the joke among, you know, our friendship is Kenny Gallifraud. You know, when we're going, you know, when we're talking in school about him and stuff or whatever, not on the podcast. And it really is true, because the guy robbed the Giants $72 million right now. And that's still the case, and that's been the case since they signed him for that 4-year $72 million contract. On the day they signed him, we both considered the fact that is this too much money? You know, we kind of both had that question. We reacted to it the way we reacted to it. Okay, well, you know, the market's only going to increase, and it's good at least that we signed him now for 4 years, because in 2 years from now, when he's got thousands of yards receiving seasons, then it'll be fine. It'll be all worth it at the end of the day. Well, now, you know, we're in, what is it, year two of that contract, Alex, and there's still nothing to be accomplished on the field, really. And today is another example of that. There was a little bit of an overthrow by Daniel Jones. Maybe Galladay could have had a diving attempt on that one, you know, to show a little bit of extra effort as that $72 million receiver. He does not do that. He outstretches his hands. Nothing. The other play, and the more frustrating one for Giants fans all around MetLife Stadium as well as outside of that, was a ball in and right through his hands. Now, a wide receiver, for everyone's information, I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you have pretty good football knowledge. You're supposed to catch the ball as a wide receiver. Yeah, Kenny Galladay did not do that on this play. He did very well the opposite. It looked like he was trying to not catch the ball on that play. So yeah, the ball literally travels directly through his arms, and he drops it. And yeah, you can see that from, you know, Hodgins, the guy that the Giants just claimed off the waiver wire, right? I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He came into this game today. He has a drop like that. You're like, you know, that's all right. You know, he played for the Buffalo Bills, hasn't really had much NFL action. This is a guy that was on the Detroit Lions, a Pro Bowler, for a matter of fact. He was a Pro Bowler at one point, Alex. I mean, I can pull up pictures on the Pro Bowl, and you're going to be amazed. Like, this guy was a Pro Bowler? Yeah, he used to be a Pro Bowler. He used to be a very good receiver in the NFL. And since that point on Lions, he has never returned to that caliber. And today it just exceeds that. just poor performance from Kenny Galladay. Yeah, he had a first down. Great. He dropped a wide open pass in his hands, a perfectly thrown ball by Jones. And that is where I go with Galladay. And then the other final mistake that I have, and then I'm done with my mistakes, or the negatives looking at this game, is Jamie Gillen. You know, the Scottish Hammer really has not had that many problems this season. His punts have been really on point. Except today he had a 14-yard punt. Yeah, that is right. 1-4. 14 yards. Had a little bit too much air on that one. And it traveled 14 yards. They just were not there today. And the Giants called his name a lot because, you know why? They were running the ball a lot, and they had a lot of three and outs. So they had to call out Jamie Gillen to punt the ball away. And when he was called upon the five or six or seven times, who I don't even know how many times it was. It was a lot today. He did not really do super well, you know, punting, which is his one job, besides obviously being the holder on those field goals for Graham Gano, who was on point. But that's the only thing. And I think this is the first time I've called him out all season. So it's been a pretty good run for Jamie Gillen. His punts have looked really good. Just today it was a little off. And that is it for negatives. Let's please go to positives now, because we won. You know, the Giants are 7-2. This should be exciting. And it hasn't been so far this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I already jumped the gun with Darius Slayton. Had to talk about him before we even finished talking about some of the negatives. Just, you know, too exciting for me. Saquon Barkley, already kind of touched on this a little bit, but I'll say it again. He had a huge day. He set his career record for rushing attempts. I believe that was around 35. Yes, it was 35 carries for 152 yards and a touchdown. So huge day for Saquon Barkley. And, you know, kind of what you'd expect against a very, very bad Houston Texans run defense. Isaiah Hodgins, however you want to say it, however I'm going to say it, because I'm sure there's a right way to say it. He had a couple of key receptions, two receptions for 41 yards, but a couple of really important ones on third down, and he looks like a solid pickup, kind of what you'd expect Kenny Galladay to be doing, funny enough, but I'm not going to bring up his name again, but certainly a nice addition for the Giants. And then Lawrence Cager as well, getting called up from the practice squad. He had a couple receptions and got his first touchdown for the Giants, and also the first touchdown of the day for the Giants. So some nice receiving and offensive weapon talk right there. I guess some, you know, key points from that group.
Alex, I think it is time to transition to this defense. And although they gave up a lot of yards today to Davis Mills, you know what? They also did Davis Mills. I'm thinking of Davis Webb, and it's like confusing me. But anyway, let's go on to this Giants defense, because that they did have a lot of positives today. Coming up with 4 sacks in total. Kayvon Thibodeau, yes, he still was without a sack. He didn't have much QB pressures either. That's all right. You know, it's eventually going to come. We're still waiting for it, though. I mean, nine weeks into the season, and we're still waiting for that pick 5 potential coming out of Kayvon Thibodeau, and we still really have not seen it yet. But that's okay, because we have the man, Sexy Dexy Dexter Lawrence, with another, continuing his monster season with another sack today. Dexter Lawrence was all over the place. I want to say he had a total of 5 QB pressures. I'm trying to pull it up right now, and I got it. So he had 5 total tackles. He had 1 solo tackle, 1 sack, 1 tackle for loss, 1 pass deflected too, and also 5 QB hits. So a big day for Dexter Lawrence, and I want to give credit to him. The next guy up is Jason Pinnock, who didn't really do much on defense, but it was the 1 sack at the end with Wink Martindale letting it all out as the Texans were driving down the field. And Jason Pinnock, with the clock winding down, comes up with a sack completely unblocked, rushes right into Mills, sacks him. They have to go for the field goal, and that really helped cap off this game. So credit to Pinnock there. And moving on, Leonard Williams, he was injured, came back against Seattle, and was kind of like half there, I would say. This game, he was a full go, and you could see it on the field, coming up with a total of 9 tackles, 5 of them being solo, also with a half a sack and a QB hit. A nice job and a good game today for Mr. Leonard Williams. And I have to say that I think he is also back, Alex. So 2 guys there. I mean, Dexter Lawrence, we've already known this. You know, Charles Davis was saying, wherever the Pro Bowl is, send him there already. Like, give him the address, because it looks like Dexter Lawrence is on his way of getting there. And it's nice to see also Leonard Williams getting back into the groove of things like we've normally seen him do, you know, with his time on the New York Giants.
Yeah, and then obviously with an interception as well, Dane Belton, we mentioned that he went to the x-ray room, so we don't really know what his injury is going to be. Probably no tomorrow or today when this episode releases. So hopefully everything's okay there, because I thought he had a pretty good game, besides a couple missed tackles, but got that huge interception in the end zone. Jalen Smith actually had 2 fumble recoveries today. One actually counted and one didn't, but still a nice day for him. The veteran from former Cowboy, actually, who's turned into a very solid piece for the Giants. And then just one other thing here, moving to special teams, want to give out some love. Obviously, you mentioned Graham Gano had a solid day. Jamie Gillen, not so much. But in the kick return game, punt return game specifically, we obviously had those Richie James fumbles in the game against Seattle. We did not see Richie James besides 1 punt return. We actually saw Richie James for some weird reason. I don't know why that happened. But for the other 3 punt returns, I believe it was.
But it wasn't even a punt return. That's the thing. He watched the ball, and then he ran to the right. He just let the ball bounce. So it was very odd.
Very odd. But for the other 3 punt returns, it was a Dory Jackson returning kicks. Obviously, used to return kicks for the Titans and even farther back for USC when he was in college. Don't like this idea at all. Please bring anyone else to do the kick returns. If he gets injured, our season is screwed. He's our number 1 corner. We need him. He's a lockdown guy. It's just, please, like, that huge mistake. That was the biggest mistake all game. You cannot have a Dory Jackson returning punts. Like, please, Brian, like, just let him sit on the sideline. If it's going to cost us 1 fumble for the rest of the season, I'd rather Richie James be back there, you know, and keep a Dory Jackson healthy. I think that's the most critical thing. I said at the beginning of the season, Dory Jackson's the most important player this season for the Giants. Still kind of stand by that. Might be Saquon Barkley, but Adoree Jackson's been critical on the back end for this defense, especially with all the blitz that Wink Martindale dials up. So hopefully they change that or figure out a new solution next week. But Adoree Jackson, just let him not return punts, please.
I mean, I get it, Alex. Trust me, I definitely get it. I'm just trying to think, like, who else could possibly return punts on this team?
Richie James, I guess. Like, Gary Brightwell returns kicks, right? He returns the kickoffs, so can he not return punts? I don't know. Darnay Holmes, I mean, I guess. I mean, I'm thinking about some of the other guys, like...
And if you even remember, I mean, this is a big call-up. I don't know. I believe Khalil Pimpleton, who was...
Yeah, exactly.
...from the Detroit Lions on the practice squad... Yeah, this is a big shout out, but he was in Hard Knocks. You know, if anyone watched the HBO show during the summer, got cut by the Lions. Giants picked him up, put him on their practice squad, which I still think he sits there today. Yeah. He is a super young guy. I think he was undrafted, just out of college. And I want to say that he was a kick returner, punt returner in college. So yeah. If they wanted to call him up, have him play wide receiver, but also more call him up just for the special teams aspect, the Giants need wide receivers. And it's not like they, you know, Cager is the number one, you know, only call up they can make. I mean, they could send Cager down for a week and just try Pimpleton for this game against the Lions. It's a Pimpleton Lions revenge game, maybe. Yeah, who knows?
Maybe.
But yeah, I think that's also another option, too, if you want to look to it. Khalil Pimpleton on the practice squad. I don't know, just a special shout there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Just not Adoree Jackson, that's all I'd say.
Yeah, it was a little scary, you know, watching him get it there. And it's just weird because I remember on one of the punts, he literally had the pass breakup on third down. He breaks it up, and then he has to sprint downfield and get ready for the punt to go off. It's just like a series sequence of events, whatever you want to call it, that you just don't want to witness having your number one cornerback do that, especially when the Giants lack cornerbacks. If he gets injured on one of those returns, it's just, you don't want that happening. It's just not a good idea. But anyway, with that being said, I think we really covered everything here on this Giants versus Texans recap. Again, the Giants come up with a 24-16 victory, and they move on to face another winnable opponent next weekend. Definitely another winnable opponent next Sunday against the Detroit Lions. 7-2, Alex, and again, sitting second as of now in the NFC East, and hopefully when we're recording this again, it's during the Cowboy game, hopefully they freaking lose. That would be absolutely wonderful. I would be very happy about it. So with that being said, just a few ways you can help us out. You can subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Go to shipitstudios.com/giant take to find more places to listen. Social media platforms, we're on basically all of them. The ones being Twitter and TikTok, The Giant Take Pod, Instagram and Facebook, The Giant Take Podcast. Alex on Twitter at inorin23. I'm on Twitter at joshiolo29. And the last thing I ask is you keep listening to these recaps and previews. We really appreciate it. And we are going to continue with them throughout the rest of the season. Alex, without further ado, feel free to take it away.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode. And we'll see you all next time for our Lions preview.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.